This is a Collider.com audio interview.
You were awesome in this film. I hope you don't mind, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you about the comment that Entertainment Weekly reported about Gerard Butler and Escape from New York.
Oh, I don't know. I was just kidding around. I think that a long time ago, John and I had a lot of fun making a movie. It was a John Carpenter creation. The Snake Plissken character is, and how it's played is my creation. Our movie will always be there. They, you know, they've done television series off of Stargate. They did a television series off of Backdraft. They're going to redo The Thing, remake Escape from New York. They did some Disney movies that I did, you know. Listen, I've had a long career, and I'm only happy to have had it. Good luck to everybody, and see if you can keep up. Cool. my personal statement was, wait till stuntman Mike cares about this. You know, he might want to rethink that. So I'm, as always, like anybody else, I'm concerned about Grindhouse. I want people to have fun at this night, which I think is a tremendous invention of the two fellows, Tarantino and Rodriguez. I think it's just going to be a hoot of a night, and I was really happy to have, you know, have a part of that.
Did you ever go to grindhouses?
I mean, you know, I went to double features all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was also interviewing for them because I was an actor. You know? And we used to sit around the room and sort of look at each other and say, God, if you get this part, are you actually going to play it? Are you going to do it? You know, and they'd look at each other and say, man, I really need the work. I got to, you know, I got some food on the table. Yeah, but what about that scene where you're eating the rat, man? Hey, man, I don't even know how they're going to do that, but maybe, you know, I'll worry about it when it happens. I never had to cross the bridge. I never really did anything that, you know, qualified for that world, so I just go watch them. But it was a lot of fun.
What were your favorite, some of your favorite Grindhouse movies?
Well, the one that qualifies, I guess, and for me was Vanishing Point. I always really thought Vanishing Point was on an existential level really cool in that world, and I kind of liked Death Proof in that regard. I thought Death Proof has that kind of sort of just off thing, you know, just it's just off, you know, and it has, you know, sort of spectacular moments, you know what I mean? So,
what was your prep for, you know, I mean, because the character was very specific, the clothes, the car and stuff. How much of that was in the script? How much of it was you? What your input?
Well, you know, when you read a script, to me, it kind of becomes very clear, and there's quite a bit of stuff that's not there. It's, you know, not in the movie. Quentin and I got together, and once again, it was just like, yeah, the scar should be over the eye, right? Yeah. And we looked at the first one. I said, this isn't big enough. He said, no, it's deeper. I said, right. It's more like, and there was a standee of something. I forget. Well, more like that guy's right there. I said, but deeper and just more obvious, right? And yeah, more. So we came back, got it right. I said, like that? He said, there it is. Yep. He said, so we did some wardrobe things, and we just said, you know, black T-shirt. Just keep it simple. Kind of black pants and cowboy boots. Yeah, boots. Stuntman. We got that jacket, and we started fooling with the jacket, and sort of, you know, that kind of looks a little bit like Burt Reynolds and Hooper, and that kind of looks a little like, yeah, we want that. And a little, how about a little flip of the other, do the old 50s, yeah, that'll work. It kind of retros him out. What about your hair? I was looking at that. He said, just right. So it took about 8 minutes, you know what I mean? There it is. There's Mike. But the playing the character was a little different because there were a lot of different versions. And when we rehearsed, I said, I got to do some really, you know, I got to go through some crazy things that might look really bad here and sound really bad. But he said, no, absolutely, do them. And I did all those for 3 or 4 days. And he was great. Never said a word. Just let me do it. I did one. I was, you know, doing Marlon Brando at one point. I was doing it as John Wayne. I was just doing it all over the map. I was just trying to find doing it as a complete screaming queen at one point. Trying all these different things. Did a sort of a Snake Plissken version. And then finally, the day before we started, he never said a word. The day before we started, I said, try that thing yesterday at the end of the day. I said, we redid something, and I just kind of was just sort of a loose, straight thing. He said, yeah, I think that's pretty much it, isn't it? And I said, yeah. So we started it out, and then by the time we got to the end, I said, you know, you did write one word here, that I really take to heart. And I said, I think it's the core of all of these psycho killer characters, especially this one who only kills women. He said, what word is that? I said, coward. I said, I really want to do that. And I said, I want to get there. And he said, okay. He said, yeah, absolutely. I said, nah, it's, you know, the guys, if we're going to talk about character arc and stuff like that, the guy who's who he is, and you find out a lot, I think a lot of times, these guys just, these characters, I mean, they cover who they really are. So I thought that'd be fun to do, because I actually have never seen that at one of those characters at the end of the movie. I see this completely fall apart, and actually the only time in the whole 3-5 months of shooting, whatever, the only time that Quentin ever came over, and Dennis Lydiard, the makeup man who I've done 20 movies with, was standing there and he's kind of working on the blood and stuff, and he sees Quentin come over. Quentin had never come over to me during the entire shoot of the movie, and so I kind of looked at Dennis and went, look at this. And he's kind of, Quentin's kind of holding his mouth and thinking. And I said, what is it? He said, I, and he kind of looks at other people and they kind of drift backwards. And it's like, geez, this is something, right? And he goes, I just, maybe a little less. And I came out of the car. I said, I finally did it. I finally went too far. Guess what? What that was, is I saw the movie the other day with him, and at the end of the movie, when I was screaming at the end of the movie, he said, I used that take. So in fact, I never did go too far for him. I never reached that level. But that's just about how, that was sort of what the whole thing was. I'm just having a great, 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 great time. This is why you get into this business. This is why you... it's what you hope to do, and every great once in a while it happens, and boy, you certainly relish it when it comes along, because it may never happen again.
Can you talk about the importance? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can you talk about the importance of science fiction in genre movies to?
Well, you know, everyone I think turns out to be important if something really good is done. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no great need to have westerns unless there's some really good ones. Mm-hmm. There's no great need to have mystery films unless there's some great ones, right? There's no need to have these kinds of films unless they do what they set out to do, which is deal with in an exploitive way, deal with three things: sex, violence, and extreme subject matter. And if you deal with extreme subject matter and you deal with it in an extreme fashion, then if you do something that the audience remembers and has a great time with, then it was important to do. You never know ever when you're making a movie if it's important or if it matters. It always only matters to you. Mm-hmm. Everybody on the show, you know, you go out there and you give it your best every day, every take. You try to, hopefully come up with something and try to make a movie that people are going to really embrace and have a great time with, or at a certain age also maybe be memorable to them.
Mm-hmm. I know recently Dean Devlin said that he was talking to the MGM folks to try to bring the Stargate films back with the original cast. Has there been any talk or anything on that?
I heard that Gerard Butler was doing that. I don't know.
In the bar scene, I noticed that Jack Burton's shirt is on the wall.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that?
Here's the way Quentin is. Here's what Quentin is. Quentin goes, look. What? He goes, look on the wall. I'm looking on the wall. What, Quentin? He says, come on. And everybody's standing around. I said, wait a minute. What is that? That's the shirt. And he gives you the whole thing. And I said, oh, right. I said, yeah, it looks vaguely familiar. I didn't want to burst the bubble. You know what I mean? And after a while, the ground went, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's right. He's crazy for that stuff.
How many hits landed?
They were fabulous, and I like the kid Zoe, because Zoe, of course, was the real stunt girl there. Yeah. She's the only one that hit me. They were great. They did a phenomenal job. I've done lots of those scenes with way less punches than that and been hit way more. they were fantastic.
Did you try any 70s
muscles? Go ahead. He was, no, I cut him off.
What's sort of the difference between playing a badass character like this and playing, you know, some of your straighter, more adult roles? Is it more fun to play this? Is it easier? Is it just as tough?
It's not as tough because it's, you know, it's kind of, your parameters are kind of wider, but no, it's easier because you know that in the context of the screenplay, this character's turning all the moments. So just by virtue of what those characters do when they do something, the audience has to follow it. They have to see the result of it. By nature, that's I suppose egotistically more fun thing to do than it is to do something that's more subtle and have it go unappreciated. But anyway, you keep trying to do them. So when you're dead and gone, maybe somebody looks at it and goes, you know, they missed the boat there. That was actually pretty good. It was very subtle, very real. And when you look at it closely, that was very good. So you try to, you know, yeah. It's a bit thankless, those other things sometimes, but they're not to me. And I like to see if you can accomplish with the other actors and the director that capturing the moment that's supposed to be captured just as much as if it were something as broad as stuntman Mike being shot in the arm and reacting to that the way he does.
Did you want to drive any 70s muscle cars back in the day? I'm from back in the day too, so I can ask you that.
Back in the day, I didn't like you probably. I didn't think that much of those cars. I didn't. I thought they were just big and ugly.
Like a hot later.
You know, I never quite got that. I was in high school at that time, and I was high school and college age. I didn't go to college, but it was college age. And the only thing was, I never could figure out why girls actually responded to those cars and those guys. It was, you've got to be kidding me. What is it? Years later, actually only about in 1998, I was doing a picture, and I bought a 1932 three-window Ford coupe. Beautiful hot rod. Real thin windows, so they can't really see who's in it. Kind of dark. It's very cool. And I suddenly got it. The women just go crazy for funny cars. They see something that has a loud throb to it, a loud noise, and it's got a goofy paint job, and there's obviously the guy's got a sense of humor and a big cock. That's what you get. It's like, that's what, you know, because, I mean, from 8 to 80, they're going, oh, look, oh, can I give me a ride in your car? And clearly it wasn't me, because they couldn't see me, and nothing unusual there, but I said, this car is amazing. And I thought back on those guys in high school. I said, oh, they really did know something I didn't know, which is girls love hot cars. I'd get in this thing and looking like, a complete, you know, goofball. And they'd come by and they go, it's hot. What are you talking about? He's like, you know, is it? But they respond. I mean, I gotta admit, they do. You hit that, you just boom, you hit that thing once, and they turn their head. So there's some kind of DNA connection there. I never figured out.
Well, what's next for you?
Don't know.
Yeah, did I heard like you got some sort of, like there was a deal, and you got some, you wanted to do like the first one with John. Was there any truth?
Oh, no, one day we're going somewhere. Quentin and Robert and I were riding on the airplane. We're going somewhere. We're kidding ourselves about talking about Grindhouse. I said, you know, we were talking about what they really did do back in that day, which was they'd sign up an actor for like six shows, and he'd shoot his part in all six movies in 1 or 2 days. And I said, we could make an announcement that I've signed a deal with Grindhouse Incorporated or whatever, Grindhouse, you know, that I'm going to do the next six pictures. And it'll be over a three-day period. All will be shot in a three-day period. And we were just kidding about that. I don't know where that came out. It was like that.
There's a pretty famous story about Travolta. He signed up for Pulp Fiction, but they bonded over playing the fucking Matt Carter game. Tarantino bring out the Escape from New York?
Oh, God. I'd be sitting there. I'd be like falling asleep in the car waiting while they're lighting or something. And all of a sudden I'd hear, you're going to have to go into the You're going to have to go in after the president. I hear this on my thing. I look around, and then I hear, president of what? And I look up there, and they're all on the monitor. They go, you know, he did that all the time. I mean, I hear some from used cars. They love used cars. Yeah. And they would go through used cars, and he would come off the thing, and then they'd come to some part, and he'd be going, it's too fucking high! And they'd all be doing it. They are a moving party. They are a movable feast. It's really, as much as you may enjoy his movies or his approach to making them, and understand how intelligent he is about them, I wish you could all spend an entire movie, you know, working, come prepared. I do warn you about that. It's not easy when I'd watch people come in and we weren't quite ready to go, and that's not good. And I don't blame them. But boy, it's what you figure, you know, it's supposed to be when you want to have fun going after something. And just really work hard. Really work hard. And then when you get it, it's just... Yeah, it's the joy of watching someone who really cares.
Any chance you might be insensitive?
I never know about anything. They call me. I was in Tahiti. I was in Tahiti, you know, eating pineapples. Quentin Tarantino wants you to do what? That sounds interesting. I'll be back in a week.